It's not just the stuff we're sending skyward in the form of our emissions, but also what we're sending down into our bodies. And one of the concerns is BPA. Who knew that all those cans that contain things as all-American as Campbell's soup, remember Soup and Sandwich, those ads? I'm old enough too. Perhaps my next guest, Janet Noodleman, does as well. She is a director of program and policy for the Breast Cancer Fund based in San Francisco. They're doing a lot of research on what is causing breast cancer in terms of environmental causes, and there is a link to BPA. Janet, welcome to the Green Front.
Thank you very much.
BPA is something that turns out was in my baby's bottle, the one I gave her with a lot of, you know, confidence, I thought, back before, well, it was about 18 years ago, before I was green and before we knew all this. What are we learning about BPA that is really quite scary? Not to mention all those bottles that her camp required for 9 years that we send her to camp with these, I forgot the name of them, those big sports bottles that contain BPA. I think they were number 7. Anyway, they are poisoning our kids, and we are inadvertently. It's most disturbing. We are finding out more, and actions being taken. You see a lot of plastic bottles now that say BPA free, but it's not out of the grocery chain at all.
No, not even close. So BPA, short for bisphenol A, is a real problem in the United States. Research shows that 93% of all Americans contain BPA in their bodies, and that we're getting the majority of that exposure from food packaging in particular. BPA is one of the most pervasive chemicals in modern life. More than 2 million pounds of BPA are produced in the U.S. every year. And like you said, I think most Americans know that that BPA is in baby bottles and water bottles, but what they might not know is that BPA is also in canned food. It's actually used to make the epoxy resin that lines canned food.
All canned food have it?
Just about all canned foods. There are a handful of canned food manufacturers that have stopped making BPA canned food, but they don't label it as such. So it's really a buyer beware situation as to know when you go to the grocery store what canned foods have BPA and which canned foods don't. But most of them do. And I can tell you about that a little more specifically in a second, but I want to tell you why we care about BPA at the Breast Cancer Fund, if I can.
Please.
Because it's kind of a nice introduction to the problem. Nice is probably the wrong word to use because it's an outrageous introduction to the problem. So let me just rewind about 100 years to 1891 when BPA was first synthesized because of its estrogen-like properties. As a pharmaceutical hormone, so it was created in the labs to be a treatment for women going through menopause, because it acts just like estradiol, which is our naturally occurring estrogen in women. And then it was abandoned in favor of other synthetic estrogens. But then 10 years later, in 1940, scientists in the chemical industry discovered that it was very useful in making plastics. So what I want you to remember is that BPA was first synthesized to be an estrogen, and now it is used in multiple kinds of food packaging. It leaches from the food packaging into food and then into people, thus increasing the exposure that that everyone, but of most concerned women, are having to this estrogen-like substance every day, thus increasing their risk of breast cancer.
And perhaps also contributing to early puberty?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So the shorthand formula for breast cancer risk is a woman's lifetime risk of breast cancer is directly related to her lifetime exposure to estrogen. And that's both naturally occurring estrogen as well as synthetic estrogens like BPA, phthalates, you know, which we've heard more and more about in the news as well, and other endocrine disrupting compounds.
Oh, my. I want to hear about your campaign, Cans Not Cancer, and I'm just thinking about all the cans we all like to donate around Thanksgiving and Christmas time to, you know, underprivileged people, and how people who, you know, don't live near, you know, farmers market sites and where they don't have a lot of fresh produce, access to that, they're more susceptible to eating out of cans, and that means that their risk of exposure to this is greater.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, we really think about this problem as being a food justice issue. And we're not talking about getting rid of cans, because it's also a labor issue, you know, because our friends, in the canning union, make these cans, and their jobs depend on the existence of cans. What we're saying is that, that canned food should be safe for everyone. And that manufacturers need to be looking very, very aggressively for safe alternatives to BPA in canned foods.
So what is the state of this effort? I mean, are the major manufacturers saying we're in the process of changing this, we get it, or are they ignoring campaigns like yours? Because this is most disturbing.
So this, I also want to rewind a little bit to give you the backstory of why canned food manufacturers are beginning to care. So let me start by saying yes, some canned food manufacturers are beginning to listen to the consumer demand for BPA-free cans. But the reason why is because for the last 5 years, advocacy organizations like the Breast Cancer Fund have been very, very active in trying to move the market towards safer alternatives, starting with baby bottles, and also demanding legislation that would more strictly regulate BPA in food packaging at the state and the federal level. So today, because of advocacy efforts on the part of the environmental health movement, which is made up of organizations like the Breast Cancer Fund, who believe that there is a relationship between our chemical exposure and the increasing rates of disease, like breast cancer, for example. So the environmental health movement has been working very aggressively at the state level to secure legislative bans on BPA. So now 11 states have banned BPA in baby bottles and sippy cups, which is the good news, and mm-hmm. The state of California just banned BPA from baby bottles and sippy cups in January. And two of those 11 states, Connecticut and Vermont, have also banned BPA in infant formula and baby food.
Now, what's the turnaround time? So when you say it's banned, does that mean it will no longer appear in cans, or are they saying we need a year or two to phase this out and phase something else in? And what are the alternatives? If they need BPA to, you know, seal their cans, what else is out there?
Okay, but I just want to be clear. Those 11 states that I just mentioned, they banned BPA from infant formula and baby food, not canned food.
So baby food in
jars, because most baby food doesn't come in canned foods. So these states have addressed part of the problem by dealing with the baby bottles and the sippy cups for the most part, and then again, two of those states addressed infant formula and baby food, but no states have addressed the presence of BPA in canned food, you know, like beans and soups, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the other part of your question?
Just alternatives to this substance that they're saying they need to protect the food or the soup inside the can.
Right. So, you know, part of why the canned food manufacturers have said that that they use BPA is because BPA prevents a seal between the food and the can. And it protects against bacterial contamination. And so that's important, right? We don't want our canned foods to become contaminated. But what we've been arguing is BPA itself is a contaminant. So you know, we're not taking care of the problem by protecting foods from external contaminants while introducing internal contaminants in the can itself, into the food product. And we don't know what the alternatives are, to be perfectly honest. But we're saying the canned food industry is large enough and they're made up of you know, multi-million dollar multinational companies, and they should be able to figure this out if the public health is a priority to them.
Mm. Well,
and
it,
you know, and companies have begun to figure out alternatives for baby bottles and sippy cups because of advocacy efforts, again, on the part of organizations like ours. The majority of baby bottles are now BPA-free, and we know that to be true because Representative Markey, who introduced a bill at the federal level to ban BPA from all food packaging, wrote to the baby bottle manufacturers, infant formula food manufacturers, canned food manufacturers, and the manufacturers of disposable food containers and asked them whether or not they were still making food packaging with BPA. And all of the baby bottle manufacturers told him no, they aren't.
Okay, I've got to ask you this. You know, I go to the gym and I still see, you know, I live in Mill Valley, Marin County, so maybe a quarter of the people I see at the gym are carrying, you know, bottles like Clean Canteen made from aluminum or just
right.
a reusable bottle. But I still see, and they still sell, you know, the Crystal Geyser bottles everywhere. Do they contain BPA?
You know what? The reusable, the disposable
yes.
Plastic bottles tend not to be made out of BPA. BPA is the chemical that makes plastic hard. So it's used in disposable water bottles, or not disposable, I'm sorry, reusable water bottles like Nalgene.
Mm-hmm. Nalgene,
and,
that was the one I sent my daughter to camp with for all those years. Cringe.
Yeah, and most of those reusable water bottle manufacturers, or many of them, have taken BPA out. For example, Nalgene, Camelback, and Aladdin. But they used to definitely manufacture their reusable water bottles with BPA. So if you have old ones that have been hanging around, you know, for a while, you should definitely throw them out.
Okay, and then the sun. Does the sun release more of these chemicals like BPA if you've got a water bottle sitting there in the hot car?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why is because BPA is an unstable polymer, and it breaks down in a couple of different ways. When it's exposed to the sun, for example, as you suggested, just from regular wear and tear, you know, when we knock our water bottles around. And then in the case of baby bottles and canned food, the BPA is lipophilic, which means it's fat-seeking. So if you're putting a fatty food in the baby bottle, like milk, for example, you know, or in the canned food, you know, what's fatty, like, you know, chicken noodle soup or mm-hmm. coconut milk or things like that, the BPA will actually leach out of the lining in the canned food and seek out the fatty food, you know, thereby, you know, migrating more quickly and mm-hmm. adding to the higher level of BPA in the food and then in the person that consumes the food.
Well, you know, so here I am, the queen of green, and I unknowingly gave my daughter, you know, those Aveda, whatever they were called, those plastic baby bottles that were very popular at the time, and they contained BPA, and then the Nalgene bottles. So, you know, if I did it, you know, can only imagine what moms in Kansas are doing, not knowing. And, of course, we can only, you know, do what we can, you know, get knowledge about. And so it's so important to spread the word. And I'm so glad that the Breast Cancer Fund is doing just that. And with your Cans Not Cancer campaign. And I guess Campbell is realizing that soup and sandwich may go together, but canned soup and cancer don't go together so well. So they are going to be phasing it out. What can people do who are listening to this conversation and are, well, have lost their appetite for some of these items and want to make sure that going forward BPA is moving out of the food chain?
So that's an excellent question. Well, one thing that they can do is they can visit our website, which is www.breastcancerfund.org, and they can find a lot of information about three important things. One, how they can get involved in advocacy efforts like the Cans Not Cancer campaign, which is a project of the Breast Cancer Fund, which is which is pushing canned food manufacturers to eliminate BPA and replace it with safe alternatives. And our Canned Not Cancer campaign was successful in getting Campbell's Soup to announce just a couple of months ago that they would be phasing out of BPA. The other thing that you can find on our website is information about the science. We have we call it clear science. So we present science in an understandable way, and you can download fact sheets about BPA and other chemicals linked to breast cancer, as well as tip cards that will give you information about how to avoid BPA and other potential breast carcinogens in the consumer products we use every day. And the third thing that you can do is find out information about our outdoor events. We raise money to prevent breast cancer through every year we host a peak hike on Mount Tamalpais. And this year it's going to be taking place on October 14th. We also climb a mountain every year, Mount Shasta. And that mountain climb is taking place on June 19th. And both of those activities are meant to raise money to prevent breast cancer. And the third thing we do is we have a really big heroes celebration where we honor people that have been heroes in the effort to prevent breast cancer. And that fundraising dinner is taking place at the Yerba Buena Center on May 15th. So people can find out information about all of those things. Do you have a minute and I'll tell you how to avoid BPA in plastic and what to look for?
Exactly a minute. Go for it.
Okay. So a quick tip to avoid plastics with BPA and other problem chemicals. You want to avoid the code number 7 on your plastics because that usually means BPA. You should also avoid plastics that contain other hormone-disrupting chemicals like phthalates. And those are usually PVC plastics, which have the recycling code 3. And the safer plastics you should look for are plastics coded 1, 2, 4, and 5. And, of course, non-plastics like stainless steel, glass, and ceramic.
Thank you. And that was just about a minute. I really appreciate all your great knowledge and wisdom on this. Going to have you back because you guys are doing such wonderful work. I've been aware of the Breast Cancer Fund for so many years, making the connection between our health and our environment. And, of course, there is a very intimate connection, as I demonstrate to people often. I say, if you don't think so, look at the air out there, as if you could see it. Take a breath in, and the environment quickly, immediately becomes the environment, our environment. So thank you for protecting us there at the Breast Cancer Fund and for all your great work.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you today.
And petition drives do work, and we're going to find out about a very successful one that addresses mainstream media's coverage or lack thereof of climate change and weather right after this quick break.